All right, slightly different episode for you guys today. We're going to be doing these. We're going to call them chill sessions, where every time we record like an intro for one of our regular episodes, we'll record like 20, 30 minutes of us just talking about whatever's going on, whether that's in our lives, sports world, etc., just a bunch of different topics, get a little bit more insight into what Neruda and I be talking about and thinking. This week, obviously, we want to talk some TBT. We are with the WRD3 team, and they're super lit right now. That's the topic of the tournament. And what's crazy is, like, this is what we've been trying to tell people for 2 years, bro. It's just D3 hoops is good hoops. And then Bob Quillman, D3 Datacast guys, I can keep on going, but they're probably, like, for the past 5 years or 10 years, this is what we've been trying to tell you guys. So it's definitely, like, now all the TBT announcers and their social media guys are, we are D3 this, we are D3 that, but that this is like the first time you guys actually gave D3 a chance, and you're seeing like it's special. But we're going to go through TBT a little bit. I don't know if you want to start with any comments, but those, I just had to get that off my chest first.
Nah, definitely great points. I mean, to add on to that, like, I think you're 100% right. This is exactly what we've been telling people, you know, about Division III hoopers. It really gets like that. It really, really gets like that in between them lines. And you're right. I mean, it was, I think, you know, what's beautiful about the TBT run is to see the D3 community, you know, come together, right? So I came back to the gym in New Hampshire on Monday, and so many people, like, coming to me and asking me, like, yo, like, let me hear about the TBT, or they have questions about X, Y, and Z player, or maybe they're trying to find out about what the TBT is and find out about what we are D3 is. Or you had, you know, I'm sure you had a lot of people texting you, teammates that you played against, guys that you played, worked out with, that are tuned in, that are like, yo, like, D3 is making a run, like, you know, that's so cool. So to see that,
motherfuckers be tagging us and shit, like, we playing.
it's cool though, bro, because it's like, because I think I had told you this, like, before, like, it's cool to see, one, that people are proud of these guys, like, you know, all guys in the team, and, like, proud of their success and supporting them. But also with us, like you're saying, like, it's funny that they tag us, but the people that know us are also proud of us and proud that, you know, we're on that stage too, like, trying to promote D3 like we've been doing, you know what I mean? And now we're front row at one of the biggest, I think, you know, one of the most memorable moments in Division III history. I'm only, you know, 23 years old, and I've only played, really been involved with Division III for 5 years, but one of the more memorable moments in Division III basketball I can remember, and we were front row watching it. So crazy, crazy, crazy weekend for sure.
Yeah. Let's rewind a little bit. So we're going to go through game to game, or just like how the week was. And I left after the Bayhams Army game. You stayed for the Stars Store. So that's a little bit of context, and neither of us have been at the Wichita site. So just know that when we're talking. So we get there. We were vlogging a little bit, but we forgot to keep up with that. It was just so hectic and what we were doing. But we get there, and I'm not going to lie, bro, and you know I was on this. When I got there, they was like, oh, Demetrius, shoulder hurt. He might not play. Ty's ankle. He may not playing. When we was chilling with Ty, he was like, shit, I'm not risking nothing, bro. Like, if my ankle not feeling better tomorrow, I'm not playing, because I got overseas next year. I'm not risking that contract. And when we was on the way back to your crib, I was like, shit, I don't know if I'm jacking WRD3 this year. And then you was like, nah, they're going to be all right first game, and then next game, both of them going to be good. Both of them ended up being fine. They was just being babies, whatever. But like, the first practice, just seeing them, the chemistry, and Ty was saying this in our episode, but he was like, I think this is the best team we've had. And when I was watching, I was like, yo, they don't got no holes in this team. Like, shooting's there, wing depth is there, big depth is there. And then we already know what our guards can do. I was like, yo, this team is special. And like, we might see this change, but I don't even think they're playing their best right now. Like, there's still a lot of things that I'm seeing, like, this could be better, or this could be better. But I'll give you the floor if you want to talk about before we get into Lane's Hope.
Yeah, I think, you know, that It was memorable, bro. It was memorable. I mean, you know, last year when we went, I don't know if we did a whole we did do a recap episode in the telly, but you know, from traveling there, from the drive over, you know what I mean? And I tried to avoid traffic when we got to Fonda. And we ended up like adding like another hour to our trip. And then when we finally got, you know, to Cuse, and also moving into my new crib in Utica was also fun. Really nice house. Yeah, OD. But you know, we got to dinner and like just as soon as we got there, it was just like, damn, bro. Like it felt, you know, like a real college team, and it felt, you know, like we have a good rapport with these guys. You know what I mean? We were with them, you know, in Dayton last year, and all the jokes and Ty starting it from as soon as we sit down on the
as soon,
table,
bro. Like
as soon as we got to the table, he was saying some jokes.
Like Ruda was, I forgot what he said, but he just started making jokes, and then it just from there, bro. The chemistry is right back how it was, and it's crazy because we like you said, we only knew them from Dayton last year, spending a few days, and then like the vibe is still high as soon as we see him. But keep going.
Yeah, no, you're right. The vibes was real high, and then you're right. I think, you know, but leading up to the Lane's Hope game, you were definitely like questioning, like, yo, like if these guys are not healthy, like what are we doing? You know what I mean? Cause like they're the Marcus, Ty, Demetrius, you know, those three make the team go, in my opinion. You know what I mean? That's what separates them on a night to night basis. And yeah, and we were questioning that, but I think once we seen them suit up, and I remember seeing the on the drive over to the game on Saturday against Lane's Hope. I remember seeing Ty's story, let's hoop. And I was like, yeah, it's over now. You got to go on this run.
Nah, no cap. But all right, so Saturday it is playing Lane's Hope. Mm-hmm. And there was like a few faces that I knew on Lane's Hope. And not that I was like nervous about them, but I was like, oh, this team isn't just – because last year the Sweet Home Alabama – team, they was weak, but like Lane's Hope, I was like, oh shit, like they got Joe Cremo, for people who don't know, 518 legend. He played at Villanova, so he's a basket. I think most people know about Jayhawk. He had a good college career, one at Norfolk State and Robert Morris. And they had this dude named Shadell Millinghouse. He was like the bald head guard. He's mm-hmm. older now, but he's also a 518 legend. He played at Texas Tech. So I was like, oh shit, like they got some guys. But like from the jump, I was like, nah, bro. We are D3 just wants it more, bro. Because, and I don't want to say like the $1 million is driving them, but obviously that's a factor. But also, like they were still trying to prove a point at that point. I think that point is already erased. Like D3 can't hoop. That's erased now. But going into that game, I think it was still kind of like, oh, D3, like, I know the guys on the other team were thinking these bunch of just D3 guys. Trevor Booker, well, that's his name, right? He was scared to play. So it was good. It was good bump the first game. Like they kept it competitive, but then D3 went on like a big run, and going into Elam, I think they were up like 15. I was like, yo, this is GG's. Like there's nothing that Lane's Hope could do at this point. And then they started selling. I don't want to say selling. I think there's a few factors, which I'll get into when we get later into the tournament. But it was a good game, bro. Like, Lane's Hope pushed us to the end. It was last shot. We needed it. Ty came up big. And that was a stamp on Ty Nichols. In my head, stamp on Ty Nichols is, like, a good basketball player. Like, I haven't seen him play that much. But once I seen him at Lane's Hope, when it got rough, he had the scoop layup towards the end, and then he hit the free throws to game it. I was like, all right, like if we have him, or if we RD3 has him, they're going to be a competitor in every game.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, to your point, you know, Lane's Hope definitely has some good hoopers. You know, that game, that specific game, Middlebrooks, the big, really impressed me. He was really good. You know, Saimir didn't really have a good first half, but second half he really turned it on. So them two. And I think there was one more guard, number four, maybe. He was like lanky, could kind of shoot it. He played pretty well too. But yeah, I think you're right. Going into the game, like, you know, they was saying on the side, you know, get these D3 guys out of here. You know what I mean? And they was like saying indirect comments. And it was just like, you're right. It was the first game. It was like, it was going to be a little bit tougher than Sweet Home Alabama. It wasn't going to be, you know, the same game as in last year when they first played, you know, Sweet Home Alabama, right? Like, cause you said they were weak, but, and they were, but you know, it was definitely different. But then you saw the potential though, right? They're up 20, they're smacking them. They have Sobels that gets in foul trouble, but you bring in Parker, who's been killing it all tournament for depth. You bring in Sami, you bring in Murray, right? And you see, like, and you also see the team starting to like gel together a little bit, you know, playing with each other a little bit more, getting, cause like Sam has never played with these guys before. So they have to, you know, get chemistry and whatnot. So definitely it was, like you said, a wire to wire kind of, or maybe not wire, it was a wire to wire Elam ending, but you're nice. Right. Ty at the end of the day came through and he showed who he is, and he showed the cards for the next game ultimately.
Yeah. Quick sideline moment. You were there, so you know this happened, but, all right. So Corey, this is about Samir, but Tom Corey on the team played at Johns Hopkins, for those who don't know. He went up for a layup and Samir blocked it and Corey had fell on the floor. And Corey's my dog. Like, from the first time I met him last year, this is a white boy, by the way. First time I met him, he was playing G Herbo in the car. So off rip, I'm already knowing the type of vibe he is. So he was on the ground and Samir like stared over him and like fake, like tried to step over him. And I was like, I'm not going for that. I was like, cause they was up 20. I was like, come on, bro. You down 20, Samir. And like, Samir don't know me. I don't really know Samir like that. But he looked at me. He was like, I don't give a fuck. I was like, and you got zero. And then, bro, he made like a layup and then a big ass three to like put them down two in the Elam. I was like, damn, I just woke him up. But he didn't have enough. He's nothing. But yeah, like we went out to the brewery or whatever. I was showing Ty and Marcus like the highlights from the game. We was just chilling, and I was showing Ty the last free throw of like when he gamed it, and he was like, KJ, you weird, bro. I'm like, how I'm weird? He's like, why you ain't telling me my braids was messed up? I was like, nah, bro, this dude is just a troll. But like after that game, I feel like they weren't who said it? Top Shelf, or what's his real name? I'm not calling
David Clark or something like that, right?
Yeah, David Clark. He was like in the locker room, the biggest difference from last year to this year is you guys aren't satisfied with this game. And I was like, yo, that's dead ass a fact, because going into Behan's army, it wasn't on some like, oh, we just won our first game in the TBT. It was like, all right, who's next? So when Behan's army won, like there was some doubt in my head at first, like, oh, they got a lot of size. Chris McCullough, I remember him. He's tough. Elijah Hughes at the three is OD. Rakeem Christmas is really tall and big paws. So I was like, yo, this might give us some trouble. But then they were at shoot around and they were just like chilling. And then I rode back with Marcus, Ty, and Quan, and there was no doubt at all. They were like, yo, we might smack them tonight. Ty was saying, like, none of them can guard me. Marcus was like, yeah, I don't see how they can beat us, really. Like, obviously, he didn't say that straightforward, but he was like, I think we're better at this. And Quan was just chilling in the back, and I was like, yo, why am I nervous about Chris McCullough and ETC if these guys are just chilling? But I don't know if you got anything to say before we talk about the actual game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can echo the same thoughts. Definitely, you know, we were thinking about the size of Boeheim's army and some of the guys they had on the roster. And, you know, a couple of them are NBA guys. Buddy Boeheim got a call up. Elijah Hughes was drafted in the first round. I think Chris McCullough had a cup of tea in the NBA and probably
he got drafted.
Yeah. Rakeem Christmas. Do you know if he was in the A at all or nah?
He might have. I don't know, to be honest.
And then I know for a fact that Jacob Gilliard played for the Grizzlies. So that's like what, five or six potential NBA guys on the team at one point. So automatically you're like, it's going to be tough, but definitely had the hope and had the money on D3 for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of us going into the game were like, yo, D3 can win this game. Cause we were riding like together most of the time. And we were both like, yeah, we can win. But in the beginning of the game against Boeheim's army, I'm not gonna lie, like when I was recording, because the crowd was lit and there was a lot of people, and D3, like, they weren't scoring at first. There was like nerves or something. The girl that was sitting next to me was like, "What's going on with D3?" And I was like, "Yeah, bro, what's wrong with her?" But when I was recording, I was like, not shaking because I'm not playing, but I was like, "Oh shit!" Like I was like, "Damn, are we about to get smacked?" Because they, like, I think it was 15-4 or something. They definitely jumped on D3 at first, and D3 was struggling, and then it became the Ty Nichols show, and I was like, "Oh, like I forgot his first basket, but it was something. It was like a step back three or something." I was like, "Oh, he's about to have a day," and a lot of people, like on the sideline during the first game, Ty was shooting like normal Ty Nichols shots, like runners or coming off screens, just shooting anything. And people were like, "What is he doing? That's a bad shot. You're up 15 points. Be smarter, da da da." And then when it started clicking against Bayhan's Army, the narrative started to change. Like, "Oh my God, Ty Nichols this, Ty Nichols that." People started bringing up the silencer. And it was just funny how the narrative kind of changed about that. But Bam's Army was still like right there. It wasn't when Ty Nichols started going off. They were still playing really good. Buddy Bayhan was doing his thing. Chris McCullough still had a few tough baskets. There were some questionable subs on Bayhan's Army, but that's not what we're here to talk about. It was just a really good game, if you want to say your thoughts with the game.
Yeah, I mean, first, got to give a shout out to my guy, Sean Dorsellis, sideline reporter for the Bayhan's Army. We are a D3 game, you know. Great reporting by him, because he asked Coach Reg and he talked to Reg and Ty before the game, and he found out that Ty's nickname was a silencer, and the commentators did not know that. And Sean mentioned it in the pregame broadcast, like, you know, they call this guy a silencer because of X, Y, and Z. So when Ty starts killing, that announcer starts using the moniker like over and over again. He's like, the silencer, he keeps saying it. And I thought, watching the playback, it's so tough. So I got to give a big shout out to Sean for doing some good journalism and finding that out. Cause it just added to like the game overall, you know what I'm saying? The broadcast, the fans, all that stuff. But to your point, you know, I was getting, you know, throughout the game, like you said, people were texting us and as if we're on the court too. But, and you know, Marcus Gentile texted me, and I think it was midway through the first quarter. He's like, "I don't know. Like the, you know, size of Bayhan's Army." I'm like, "Yeah, like, you know, rough start, you know, there's definitely levels to it, but I think we're going to figure it out." I said some along, you know, those lines. And then shortly after that, it just took off. And then from first quarter to all the way to Elam ending, it wasn't the same game as it was in the first 5 minutes. It was really just, you know, neck and neck, I feel like, the whole way. And you're right, it became the Ty Nichols show. He started just balling, bro. He started balling. And it was just like every shot, I don't know, I think he shot 6 for 10 from that game. So
yeah, from three.
Every shot that he took, I was like, "Yeah, that's going in." You know what I mean? Like, damn, like, bro, he's on a heater. And especially when he made that corner three at the end of the first quarter, I was like, "Yeah, it might be our night. We just need the other guys to show up." And they did, bro. The other guys did.
Nah, there was a few tough Ty Nichols plays. And this is not, we're not trying to glaze, and Ty doesn't need this.
Nah, fuck Ty, to be honest.
Nah. But when he hit that, he like, it got hit at like near half court-ish, and he did a push dribble to the other side. And then, yo, that was different, bro. And I was like, all right, it's probably keys for Bam's Army at that point if Ty's doing shit like that. But I remember the night before, and this is no shade to Dayon, but he was like, "Bro, they can't have Sam on Eli." And I was like, "Why? Eli or Sam can't guard him?" And he was like, "Nah, it would be food." And then you see, like, throughout the game, but late in the game, Sam was guarding Eli, and there was a lot of clamps being thrown up because Sam wasn't going for any of that. And I was talking to Sam about, like, does he think Eli's, like, levels above him? He was like, "Nah, bro. Honestly, like, Sam always talks about opportunity, but he was saying opportunity was big and what separated Eli versus me." And then you see it because Sam, he didn't have his best night offensively, but on the defensive end, he was really locking up. So I definitely got a shout out. Like, the story became Ty Nichols 36, which obviously it should be, but Sam also had a lot of really big defensive stops throughout that game.
Man, shout out my boy Sam, man. All my Elevate guys, thank you for bringing this. Yo, bro, real quick, I don't want to get into a whole different tangent because it's a whole different conversation. But when it comes to Sam, bro, at the end of the day, good or bad game from him, like he's like a connector piece for like we are D3. And like, yes, maybe like the first two games he didn't have like his best scoring game, but he's on the, like, he's rebounding, he's playing good defense. Elijah Hughes was all ACC and for in a first round draft pick. He was a first round draft pick. He's 6'7". So all these other guys that they're telling me Sam can't mess with, Sam, you know, Sam, if you're watching, you know who I'm talking about. I've already talked to you about this. All these other guys that people are saying Sam can't mess with, bro, at the end of the day, these We Are D3 boys, man, they showed up and they came to play every single game. And now they're in the Final Four for a chance to win $1 million. I had to go on my tangent real quick, but
nah, talk that talk for sure.
But yeah, because,
yeah, there's the narrative around Sam Peak isn't as high as it should be. And I hope that continues to change because he's been playing better and better game by game too.
He's about to kill overseas too. Just watch. You already know, but just watch for everyone else out there doubting, bro.
Nah, facts. So the last play, I'm not even gonna lie, like when we were inbounding to tie, I didn't even have my phone out. Like if you watch the angle I had, it was like just Ty's last dribble into the layup because I was so locked in. I was like, yo, like I don't want to say I blacked out, but I was like, yo, I don't know what's about to happen. I was fake nervous for them. And then Ty just did Ty things and he was finishing around the rim really good that whole night. But when he hit that shot, people were like, they slid up on my story when I reposted it. It was like, bro, it's just a layup or whatever the fuck motherfuckers just was.
Who said that, bro? Who said that?
I'm not saying names, but there was like two or three people that were like,
people be hating, bro.
Nah, yeah. I'm like,
oh my God.
Just the fact that that's my guy. So obviously I'm going to be hyped for him as if I would if Ruda hit that shot or anybody else. But like when he hit the shot, bro, you could see our emotion, bro. Like Isaiah Sheridan was like, I haven't seen KJ run that fast since 2021. And I was, no cap, like I was out, you was out, everybody was like, find Ty Nichols, we around him. But nah, that was a special night. And again, like I said this to you or somebody on the ride home, I was like, they were like, damn, that was an upset. And we were like, nah, that wasn't really an upset to us. Like we said 10 minutes ago, like we thought D3 should have, could have, would have, or would win this game against Bayham's Army. We weren't really scared that they were all D1 Q's guys. Jim Bay, this is another fire part. Like we had just posted a reel the night before and we were like Sam and Ty were talking about playing in front of Jim Boeheim and how cool that's going to be. Nate that has got the job done. Like bro, Boeheim's Army, after they won the first game against Herkimer OGs, the whole stadium stayed for autographs, pictures, with all the guys. When they lost, I haven't seen an arena get empty that quick. Everybody was just, I'm out of there. It was funny, but definitely like there was some people wearing orange that came, yo, Ty definitely thought he was the man, bro. You should, but like you don't need this. Like I said, people were asking him for autographs, pictures. I was like, nah, he's late right now. But nah, it was a special day, bro.
Nah, 100%. You know, I posted some on Instagram, the photo. Shout out my boy Josh Gross for getting some flicks. But I, you know, 100%, like I said, it was an unforgettable night, unforgettable weekend, bro, with them winning. And you're right to the point about the upset. I think around college sports and even the way that the announcers were talking about D3 during the broadcast as if, you know, it's some, you know, Make-A-Wish league or Make-A-Wish division where anyone can kind of come play on a roster. Like I just said, man, to get like that between these lines, man, there's some tough hoopers. And, you know, my theory, you know, we could spin back on it. Obviously, in terms of the college ranks, maybe it wasn't proven. But I think overall, when we think about Division III players, man, they could hoop at this level, man. And I think the greater point is, like, especially when you go play overseas, right, maybe in college, the differences between the levels are much more extreme. But when you go play overseas, I've seen so many overseas hoopers the last couple of years, the difference between them two decreases and it becomes like maybe not that far off. Like, yes, Jimmy Boeheim was killing, but who are you taking? Jimmy Boeheim or Demetrius Underwood?
You're not like taking Jimmy Boeheim. I promise you.
Some people might take Jimmy, but that's not a bad take, but it's just like, Demetrius is as good, and he played. Yes, he played D1 for a year, but he started off at D3, bro. You get my point? OG. So it was definitely, like you said, definitely unforgettable, you know, unforgettable weekend for sure, bro.
Yo, I seen somebody on Twitter. It was tight. They was like, stop acting like this team is full of D3 guys. Most of them are Division One. I looked at his bio. It was like Q99 or something. Their fans were sick after. Yes, all of them played Division Three. But you asked me a question, and I don't even want to talk about it, but I just want the viewers, if you watch that game, to think about this. You were like, is Ty Nichols good enough to play in the NBA? And I don't even want to keep talking about it. I just want people to think about it, ponder about it. Let us know what you think in the comments. You could reach out to me or Ruta with your answer. But watch the highlights of that game. Watch some of his film and let us know.
Hey, my boy can pass too. Don't forget that too. So everyone's saying that he just a scorer, bro. He began some assists too.
Nah, facts. And you're seeing that like now in the later games, teams are starting to hard hedge or double him off of pick and rolls because they know he could just like shoot off the dribble at ease, and he's getting the roll guy or the skip pass, and it looks like he's used to. Yo, actually, since you brought up passing, he can guard too. Like, they were trying to post him up a lot of that game, and Ty continuously getting steals. I think he had 3 or 4 steals that game just in the post. So Ty can guard, pass, and scoring at an elite level. So that's the last thing we'll say about Ty Nichols for the day, because we've been talking about him a lot.
we good talking about him, bro.
I'll give you the floor because you were at the Start of the Stores game. I was at work. Whoever didn't want to switch shifts with me, I got some words for you, but I'm going to leave it off air. But talk to me about Start of the Stores game.
Start of the Stores game. You know, I think I could say a lot about this game, man. I know we're getting to the 30-minute mark, but here's what I'm going to say. Whoever was on the bench, right? I know exactly who it was, actually. Boatwright, number one.
Uh-huh.
So I yell out early in the first quarter, and if for anyone that watched the game, you know the refs was calling some BS that the first, you know, 10 minutes of the game. So I'm like, yo, why are we letting the ref dictate the game, man? Like, come on, let's play. And Boatwright, I don't know why he's talking to me. I'm media. He's worried about me when they're down already, right? Or they're up. They're actually up, and he's worried about me. So he's like, they hacking over there. They're playing street ball. I'm like, bro, just hoop. Like, y'all, what is this tournament? Like, is it not kind of street ball a little bit? He's like, we pros over here. We pros. I was like, all right, so play through it. Like, what are we talking about? He just kept saying, we pros. We pros. He just kept repeating himself. I'm like, all right, bro. Right? Then another guy on the bench, he goes, get these D3 guys out of here. Get these D3 guys out of here. Mind you, they have someone on their team who played Division III. So he's basically saying, get these D3 guys out of here while you have a D3 guy on the roster. He's not a good coach, so get him out of here, right? The girl that was running the social medias, I can go on a rant about this, but the girl that was running the social medias, after, she had a problem with Reg basically talking about how they had a bunch of influencers working for Stars of Stores. You guys are influencers. Okay. You guys make content on Instagram, and you're mad that our coach is calling your GM is Mark D'Amelio. His daughter is one of the most famous TikTokers of all time. Come on, like, we're D3 guys, bro. We're staying in a comfort inn. Like, come on, bro. We need a chip on our shoulder coming into the game. You mad about the wrong things. So Stars of Stores, man. Second half, Marcus Azar started locking up Boatwright, started locking up the big that was talking crazy, and sent them boys packing, man. We're going to have Jordan Jones on soon. He played on Stars of Stores, and they didn't even play my boy in the second half. That's how you know those coaches was bugging, man. I don't have no words about Stars of Stores. Got them boys out of here. Send them, you know, old-ass alumni home.
Yes, sir.
That's my rant.
Go ahead, bro. I love it. I love it. But real quick, I seen on, like, just watching it online, Quan got blocked, and I forgot his name, the tall dude. Like, the play was going on past half court, and he's still looking down at Quan talking to him. I'm like, yo, bro, like, this is for a mill. This is not, like, for bragging rights. Like, you out of a mill. Congrats, bro. Go have fun playing overseas. But, you mentioned Marcus, bro. We haven't even mentioned his name. He deserves a lot of shout out because after the Bayhams, like the first game, and you were saying this the whole tournament, but you were like, Marcus got better from last year. And after the Bayhams Army game, he didn't really, he was quiet because it was Ty's night. But after that, like, he's been killing, bro. And he looks like one of the better players. And Reg said it, like, we got the best backcourt in TBT. And Marcus is lifting Ty's game up a lot, too. So big shout out to that boy, Marcus. He always keeping level head, too. Like, Ty be bugging him on the court sometimes, but he keep a level head and just get to it. Triple-double machine at the point guard position is OD.
Dumb tough.
But, yeah. I know we passed 30 minutes. Who they play last game? What was the team?
They played Fail Harder.
Yeah. We don't got to talk too much about it. We weren't there. But what I was going to say is they were up 29 points. Actually, we should talk about the Elam. They're up 29, and I don't even want to blame it on one specific person or one specific thing, but like the whole week they were talking about in Elam, we need to do this, this, and this. And Coach Harris was like, let's stop focusing so much on this, this, and this. And let's just, whatever got us to the Elam or in the position to win the game, like let's just keep doing that. And Reg is doing his thing. I'm not hating, but you're seeing like when the other teams are in Elam, their coach got the clipboard out, drawing play, X's and O's all over the board. And then they go over to our huddle and Reg is just on some like, you guys are great. Just do your thing. And I think this is kind of what's helping D3, but late in the game, and I think this is why they're struggling in Elam, late in the game, you need to have like a hitter or, you know, one set that you haven't brought out that can kind of relieve this pressure, because teams, when it gets to Elam, teams are comfortable with just like, we know the refs aren't going to call as much. So let's just like play as physical as we can on Ty or Demetrius. And then we get into like this stagnant offense or ISO offense, and we're losing the ball, being careless, whatever the case may be, because we're still thinking the refs are going to call fouls. But like I said, I'm not throwing no shade towards Reg. This is just a critique that, like, maybe in Elam and one of the timeouts have a set drawn up, or, you know, he's asking Ty, what does he want during the huddle? Like, you're the coach. You take over. But, like I said, no shade towards Reg.
Nah, not at all. I think, you know, everyone's going to have their opinions. Like, on Twitter, Bob Quillman, he said something about it was the first quarter of the Stars of Stores game, and he was like, let's put Murray in there to guard number seven, there, Keon Thomas, I think. Mm-hmm. And shortly after Bob said that, Dave Murray goes in and changes the game. So we're allowed to have, you know, our own opinions. Like you said, no shade to Reg for sure. But, and you're 100% right, Brody. I mean, they need to have a quick hitter. You know what I mean? It definitely got stagnant towards the end. You know, there wasn't a lot of ball movement, but I think to your point, like you mentioned, you know, refs are going to swallow the whistle a little bit and let them hoop. And, you know, when another team, and you know this just as well as I do, when another team has momentum and you don't, it's tough to get a rhythm back going again. You know what I mean? And sometimes you get that rhythm by going to the foul line or getting a layup, and none of that was really happening for them, but, you know, they were able to pull it through.
No, facts. I don't know when this will come out, but they play on Thursday, the 31st, July 31st. They play against Wichita, right? Hold on.
Thursday against Aftershocks. Yep.
Yeah. So Marcus Keene's on that team, and he's tough. But I'm gonna say WRD3, and I don't watch too much TBT outside of WRD3. But I'm gonna say WRD3 minus five. What you got the line at?
I don't really understand the odds for real, but my money line is on WRD3 and Ty Nichols all the way.
That's valid. But nah, like you've been saying, it's been a really like unforgettable, just grateful that we're allowed to, or we were able to participate and be around the guys, like everlasting connections. I was talking to Sam last night, just joking, and that's my guy for life now. So definitely shout out to everybody on WRD3, even the guys from last year. That's something also we got to talk about next episode, is the roster construction, leaving some guys off, not bringing some guys on. Like, we'll talk about that too. But if you like this chill session, definitely let us know. Like this episode, subscribe to Not Even D2. Go follow us at Not Even D2. And
thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.